It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
It's the weekend, and you listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we're glad that you're here, and hope you're enjoying some of this Indian summer weather that we've had here in Michigan anyway. Man, it was mid-60s and sunshine all week long, and, you know, we just don't get that this time of year. Usually it's cloudy and rainy, so I'm glad. Doesn't really want to make me want to get into the tree this hunt for deer. What about you, Barbecue Bob?
Well, it's welcome. Thanks, Jop, and welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. It is a weird year for me. I'm so busy with a new career that I'm kind of like really behind, and I don't have it together.
Right.
I don't have it together. I'm fixing to.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you got the bow out yet and started shooting?
No.
Yep. I did it one time, and you know, I hunt with a crossbow. I've got a 10-point. That thing's probably 6-7 years old now. And, you know, I probably only shot maybe 50 bolts through it because every year you take it out of the case and I shoot 3 or 4 and it's still dialed in because I haven't bumped it around or anything. So scoping on those things is amazing. And, you know, I don't shoot to 65 yards like some guys do, but I'm good out to about 40.
I miss at 40, so I'm not practicing at 65 because I'm not practicing.
Right. Well, I went to deer camp last week and down in Shartucky with my boys. Tim Pruden, one of my childhood friends, and hosted it at his farm. And we did have one guy come in and had hit one on Friday night, and they didn't find it immediately. So they went back Saturday and spent most of the morning Saturday tracking and didn't get it.
Well,
and
then there's no point anyway, right, because by Saturday morning, it's rancid.
Yeah, in that warm weather. Absolutely. That was the point I was going to make.
Doesn't matter what weather it is.
Yeah, well, you know.
Because the guts are in it, the blood's in it. You listen to Tim Sobey, and he says after 4 hours, forget it.
Yep, yep, exactly. I know guys that have different opinions than that, but I would agree. I don't want it.
And I trust him.
Yep, actually, yeah, he's a meat man, no question at all. But anyway, so then that was one failure. Another failure is I took a smoker full of charcoal down there behind my car, and as you drive it down there, it bounces around and it settles. And because it was hot when I picked it up, you had done your cook for your work. And then I grabbed it, and I had to run down to Shartucky. And it bounced all the way down there, and I think it, like, compressed that charcoal. And charcoal needs to be stacked with loose so air can get in there to make it burn. Well, I get down there. It's still hot, but it's settled from bouncing for 60 miles, right?
So
I threw more charcoal on top. And it worked for about 2 or 3 hours until that had settled a little bit.
Right.
And then by then I was in the middle of a cook. And I was screwed because I couldn't get that thing.
Pour your charcoal on top of the ash I left in there?
Yeah, because it was still hot. It was red hot when I got down there.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right. No big deal.
I emptied it before you got there.
But it was where I'm going is that if you're going to do that, if you're building a fire on top of a fire, at some point you need to clean that ash box out.
Yeah.
Because it stifled the airflow. And as a result, I couldn't get that smoker more than 250.
So you were frustrated.
Well, yeah, and we ate really late because of it. But at the end of the day. What? Just me.
Who'd you yell at?
Just me.
I wasn't there.
Yeah, right. You weren't there. You know, it's a dumb mistake. I should have known better, but I just didn't want to dig out a box full of hot coals and start over, but
well,
I should have.
And you know, there's a lesson there, and that sort of is one of the reasons I'm really leaning towards one of those Tex, whatever they're called, that Garrett sells.
Oh, that Texas smoker, isn't it called or something?
It's stainless.
It's an upright.
Electric. Really nice, insulated, and I've cooked on Southern Prides a bit, and you know, I'm starting to think that having a little gas assist and all that stuff is a really good idea. I'm going to do that to yours this winter. I'll pull yours in my garage and dead of winter when I'm really bored, and I got a heated garage, and it probably won't take me. I can do it on a Saturday. You can come over and help if you want. I think we could even maybe crack a couple beers while we did something like that. I got it all figured out, but it needs a couple small burners, and I have to run down to Garrett's and see what they have for replacement burners, because I'm sure they have some old stuff they ordered that they want to dump cheap.
Right, you're looking for a propane burner, and we're just going to mount a propane tank on that. And
I just want a gas burner, and I'll get a propane orifice and then I'll adjust the shutter, and I'll black pipe the whole thing in and put some brackets on it, and it'll trailer. It'll right. be good.
Yep. And the whole idea is that the firebox, especially in the winter, in that big old iron smoker, it's really difficult to get it much above 275 or 300.
Yeah.
And to keep it there specifically, it burns a lot of coal, and a little gas assist might help. And the commercial smokers all do it.
I have another idea that would work too. I used to install log lighters in fireplaces, and they're really just black iron pipes with a bunch of little holes in them.
Right.
And you could literally throw a log lighter right in the firebox portion of it. You could light your charcoal with it. And then it could keep going to give you the heat you need afterwards.
Yeah, I'm wondering how that would last, though, with those red-hot coals up against it all the time.
Dude, they're $60. You know, after a couple of years, you put another one in.
Right, but, yeah, that was just what I was thinking is because—
Oh, no, they sit under the hot ash of your wood.
Right.
That's what they're built for.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Anyway, enough science. I had to—
Tomfoolery now? Is that what we're after?
Yeah, sure. There we go again. What year is it, Randy? You're a pony face, dog face liar. JoJo said. I took my motorhome in to finish the brake job.
This is a continuing saga. This is 3 weeks in a row that you've had brake issues with the new motorhome.
They just kind of patched me up last time, but I found a place in Coopersville called Fleet Repair. And these guys are top notch, and they saved me after that ding dong and Lowell screwed me up, and so I brought it back, and he's going to do a bunch of things for me. I've got this Bigfoot leveler system that I bought all new parts for, and he's going to put those on because this thing is there's not a lot of clearance under a Class A,
yep.
And my jacks won't get it up at all.
You mean to change a tire?
To crawl underneath it.
Oh, I see.
To put these sensors in the Bigfoot system. So they're going to take care of that. And I'm really liking this whole hire. I actually had my plumber come down and fix a leak in the sink the other day because I'm working so much.
Really?
I'm proud of myself.
Right. Are you?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Hey, different strokes for different
folks. I remember people showing up for Christmas, and I'm laying underneath the sink putting a new disposal in because it puked right as everybody showed up.
Right.
So, no, I'm a different guy now. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah?
I'm just
getting
not
soft in
do
your
everything.
Old age? Is that what's going
I
on
think,
here?
I think I just want to do what's fun now.
Right. Yep.
And well, that's why I took the job I've got.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I thought of all the money I could make at this or that, or get this license or that, and go into real estate investment. No, I don't want to chase money. I want to have fun.
Right.
I want to jump in that motorhome. I want to throw my mule on the trailer. I want to get my best girl in the seat next to me.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me to go with you. Damn it.
And I want to hit the road.
Oh.
I want to have fun.
Sure. Well, we're going to go to Whipple. This year, I guarantee I'm going to ride along with you, even if I don't get invited, because I can sleep in a motorhome better than I can sleep in a tent.
Well, the bad part is you're going to have to sleep with my brother-in-law, Paul, because he's already called in.
Well, that's all right. There's room in that thing for more than two guys.
Yeah,
I got
a king in the back. You can snuggle up with me.
Well, it doesn't matter. There'll be more than one weekend
that you go up there.
Yeah,
just so everybody knows, tonight, unfortunately, my bride is up north kayaking with a bunch of her girlfriends. Imagine that.
Right.
And your bride sent me a note saying we're having a party for Hoppy Saturday night.
Yeah.
I think autocorrect must have got
right,
her.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So tonight's all about Hoppy Joppy, his birthday. I think it's Monday, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
and
it's
so
like a big deal.
It's
you know?
Not
Gosh.
A big deal. You get a new wife
man.
And all kind of crazy crap
yeah.
happens in your life, man.
Good thing I don't have to host it at my house again.
Right.
I still yeah, cleaned
this
up
one,
after your wedding.
This one's a bonfire, and we're going to shoot bows, and we're going to shoot shotguns at Clay's.
Oh, you're going to shoot bows?
Yeah, yep.
Well, make
well.
Sure you start drinking before you
right,
shoot all
exactly.
those
exactly. We won't be doing any of that till we're done with shooting. But there's a couple people that wanted to shoot Clay's, and then, you know, the bow season, another opportunity to get dialed in. So we're going to have a little bit of fun and maybe eat a little bit. We've got three kinds of chili.
Okay.
Coming, so you don't need to bring anything but yourself.
Well, I'll be working till 6.
I understand, and
so
there are others
there
that are doing the same.
I'll get there about 6:30 or 7.
Yep, there are others that are doing the same, so it'll be fine. But
cool.
Anyway, coming up next, smoke your chuck or put your nacho on the grill. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Job, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I tell no lies. Do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out and have no doubt, the Grilling Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake, fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows, you gotta listen to the Grilling Guys show. That's it.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we just babbled on about a bunch of
stupid
BS
stuff
on that first segment. Maybe we ought to get into the Grilling Guys now. But anyway, what you thinking, Barbecue Bob?
Well, people are getting smokers at a crazy pace. I get messages all the time. I'm sure you do too. And they want to know what the best smoker to get is. And I'm starting to really hate that question.
Right.
Because I know whatever I advise, that's what they're going to buy. And then it's like, you better be right.
Well, we do know some good equipment.
I know. Yeah. And that's, I try and give them a variety of things.
Right.
And so then people are always looking for different things to try. I'd say the first thing they all try is a butt.
Right.
And,
pork butt. Yep.
And as a young man, I'd have to say we all did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
some spicier than others.
When I was in Topeka visiting Rob Russell, rest his soul, he took me over to his buddy, his Tim Sobey.
Okay.
Who's this guy's got an, I think it was like, I can't remember, Smith's Meat Shop. And it was
Topeka, Kansas.
It was in Topeka, and the guy had just pulled some jerky out of the smoker. And isn't that the best time to ever walk into a meat shop?
Sure, exactly.
If you know the butcher.
Right.
And he's got his wax paper, and he brings a bunch out, and he goes, here, try this. And Rob's going, oh, try this, Bob, try this.
Yeah.
And I pulled off a piece, and it was smoked chuck.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the first time I think I had ever had smoked chuck.
Chuck roast.
Yep.
Right.
And the guy cut it into these big squares and smoked it. And I'm telling you, it was the best jerky I've ever eaten in my life.
Was it still moist or had he dried it out to?
So it was still kind of moist.
Right. Yeah.
And he used a dry rub like Tim does. And I could hear the angels. I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
I just, I tried not to choke as I ate it, and you know, I tried to chew it a little bit.
Right. Kept eating it and kept eating it.
Oh, my gosh. It was so good. So I started doing it after that, and if I didn't have scrap meats or if I had the smoker going up and I was going to start making something, I just pulled a chuck roast out of the freezer and thaw it and marinate it a little bit and cut it into strips and smoke it up.
So your strips, you know, a chuck roast has got a ton of marbling in it, which is one of the reasons why it's so good. So when you cut against the grain, right, when you're doing your strips, you're going across the grain, not with it generally. And it'll sometimes, the chuck will sometimes fall apart because you have a real heavy vein of fat.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
Right? You really don't want to eat that anyway.
I actually... You know, I get my chucks cut about an inch and a half, I think, or 2 inches.
Yeah.
And so I'll just cut them. I'll just take my big blade and cut them maybe a quarter inch wide,
mm-hmm.
and into nice thin strips. And then when they lay down, if I see a great big chunk of fat, I'll just cut that out right now.
Yep.
Because then it's not grease in the bottom of my pan that I'm worrying about. And I don't care what the sizes are. I like the small ones, actually.
Right.
Because those just disappear quick.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You got any favorite marinades that you put on those?
Well, you know, we've got a ton of jerky recipes on our site, and I don't know if there's a favorite. This guy, I think he literally used salt, pepper, and garlic.
Right. Not a bad combination, right?
It's
you
chuck.
You can't hurt beef with that.
It's chuck.
Right. I go over to Sobeys, and he's got 12, 14 flavors there in his case. And you watch people, and people go nuts for this stuff. But, man, if you can buy a chuck for $5.99 a pound and make it, or you go and I'm not saying that everybody can make this because you got to buy it if you're at a butcher too, you know. But it's $9.99 to $13.99 a pound.
Oh, it's $15 to $20.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
a pound.
Most places.
Right, and you do lose mass.
Half of it.
Right, when you dry it out, it's going to get light.
Half
so,
the weight.
But anyway, if you get an opportunity to do this, and you can do this with a roast from venison too. Now the venison's not going to be marbled like the chuck, so you're not going to get that wonderful moisture that you can adjust in your chuck roast by just how long you cook it.
No, but your marinade can have fat in it.
Right.
And you
right.
can
olive oils and stuff.
Right. And you can brush a little oil on halfway through the smoke if it's looking like it's venison's a tricky one. I like to do that a little thicker. Because it is so lean, it tends to dehydrate like
right.
crazy.
Yep.
And
so maybe like a half-inch strip of a hind quarter, a rump roast or something, you might do that.
Yeah.
You know, there's really no chuck roast on a deer per se. But
isn't there?
Well, I don't know where it'd come from, put it that way. But
I'm just kidding. I don't know either.
Right. But, you know, it's one of those things where you just got to not dry it out so bad. It's tough.
It's called a buck roast.
A buck roast. Yeah. Yeah. If it were only a buck. Right?
So another thing I love doing on the grill is nachos. And I did this kind of by accident years ago when I think I had that big green egg that is in your garage now.
Mm-hmm.
And
most of my grilling equipment had a prior owner. It's just what I'm thinking.
And I'm the prior owner. Name something you grew with that wasn't mine.
I think I have one gas grill.
Oh, there
you go.
Maybe
didn't come through your hands. That's it.
Look at you. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
That big green egg, I have several different big pizza stones for it. And I decided just to throw some nachos on it because the grill was hot, and I like taking advantage of hot charcoal.
Exactly.
It's pretty pricey. And I just took it in. Actually, I didn't. I took my supplies out to the deck, and I built it right while the thing was open. I put a bunch of chips all over it, some shredded cheese, and I threw some of the taco meat on it, more shredded cheese, some veggies, more shredded cheese, and then I did maybe one more layer and just built it up to this ridiculous thing, shut the lid for I don't think it took 15 minutes.
Right.
And, oh, my gosh, they were so good because I didn't have flavor wood on it, but just the flavor you get from a good charcoal.
Right.
You know.
It's going to smoke.
It's not overbearing.
When it burns, right.
Yeah, it's not overbearing. It's just a savory goodness that is so sweet.
Right.
And nachos on the grill, man. I'm telling you, especially if the wife's got the kitchen busy and you got your buddies coming over,
sure.
Or you got a whole bunch of brother-in-laws or
big cooler of beer and nachos off the grill.
The girls always take over the kitchen. So get this set in advance. Get yourself something, and I would suggest ceramic. And if you can't do if you can't fit a big pizza stone on there, if your best girl has a big ceramic cake plate, spray it with Pam. That'll work the same way.
You can go to any big box store, a Meijer or something like that, and you can find pizza stones that are a variety of sizes.
I'm just saying, yeah. If it won't fit on your grill,
right.
And the big cake pan will work just yep. nicely. And as far as Polish Delight, how are we doing on time there, Mr. Producer?
Yeah, I got a quick one for you. We'll cover the Polish Delight. She's more time than we got. When I was down in Chartucky, I made some buffalo corn. Real simple. We have sweet corns everywhere, right? And I just took some buffalo wing sauce, brushed it on the cooked ears, and then when I sprinkled celery salt and a little blue cheese and some chopped scallions on it. And after I'd taken it off the fire, put all that stuff on there, and then I set it back under the grill, covered it for about a minute or two just to let that cheese melt a little bit. Fantastic with that buffalo sauce on there.
Nice.
Just gave it a little bit of zip, and it almost was like salsa on the cob, man. So it was good. But
nice.
Coming up next, we might talk about that Polish Delight or her pork steak. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and we did cover a little grill in that last segment. What do you know? We got away from the motorhome repair. But anyway, we're back, and we were going to talk about a couple things in the last segment we didn't get to, as usual. So here we are, Polish Delight. What is a Polish Delight? Well, that might be a loaded question.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about a Polish
private.
Delight?
Okay. That wasn't supposed to be a show topic.
Oh, okay. Well, so there's a dot, dot, dot behind it, so I had to ask.
It's not really a grill thing. It's something my wife's secretary used to make for us. And she would get a package of fresh sauerkraut. She'd rinse it, and she'd throw it in her slow cooker. And she would throw a bunch of red skin potatoes in there and some cut-up sweet onion. And then she'd pour some chicken broth over it. And I would usually be outside grilling the kielbasa, and about the time she had all that put together, I would put about six nice chunks of grilled kielbasa in there, and then she'd let it sit for about 3 hours, 4 hours in the slow cooker. She worked for us. So by noon, lunch was ready, and nobody could even stand to wait because it smelled so stinking good. Her name is Susan Mosley. She's the one that gave me that great big cast iron fry pan that – you used to cook on at my house several different times.
And then now I have one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, this isn't my biggest one. This is my favorite one.
Right.
Because Susan gave it to me.
Yeah.
Susan Mosley.
You know, I got a 20-inch, and it only goes on one grill I have because it's so big, and that's in the smoker. It's too deep with the handle on it.
Right.
That you can't get it in anything to cook except on this. It won't even go into green egg because the handle keeps the lid from closing.
I had that problem my whole life.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that in the fourth segment.
Well, okay. Okay. So
the next thing is pork steak. Are you a fan?
Moderately.
Moderately?
I think that I've got to dress up pork so much to make it have some flavor. The unless you get a nice fatty cut, but a pork steak is often quite lean. If it's a loin chop, you know.
No. pork steak.
You're talking about the outside of it. It's got a fat limb, but there's not a lot of marbling through it. Or where am I missing what your steak is?
Pork steak is kind of a cheap cut. When I was a kid, you know, we had six kids, and my dad was a sole breadwinner, worked for the state back when the state didn't pay anything. So my mom had to learn how to stretch dollars. Well, so she could make it taste really good, and I never ate it after that. But
because I ate so much of it, I don't want to eat it again.
When Rob and I had the road show going, he picked it up and said, "You ever make this?" And I said, "Not in a long time." He goes, "Let's get some of these." And we put some rub on those pork steaks, and we smoked them for about 2 or 3 hours. And I'm telling you, that cheap piece of pork was so ridiculously good. I demoed with it after that all the time because I wanted to eat it. It was just—
Was it moist when you got done with it?
Yes, beautiful.
Yeah, because that's the part I don't like about it is it dries out.
No, it doesn't.
And I made a pork loin for the guys.
No. You got the wrong piece. Next time you're in the supermarket, just look for a pork steak.
Okay.
Very often when you buy a pork chop, there'll be one hidden under the chops.
Oh,
if you're with a certain big box store that's all over Michigan.
Right.
That's their butcher's trick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got to believe it's at the end of the chop, and it's where it starts going into, like, the attachment.
Okay.
Another thing, of course, that is fun to do for dads is pigs in a blanket. You can do those on your smoker, and there's lots of ways to do them. But I prefer to do them with a really nice piece of— I love, again, it's Sobeys. This is a Sobeys show. But I love their breakfast sausage.
Yep.
And I just get the Pillsbury triangular—
Crescent rolls.
My wife buys them, yeah.
Crescent rolls.
And I throw a nice chunk of cheddar—
That's your
in
blanket,
there.
Right?
Yep. And chunk of cheddar, and I wrap that up, and I'll put a bunch of them on the pan when the kids are over.
Right.
And those will go right on the
grill.
Now,
are the breakfast sausages cooked before you put them in there?
No.
Nope. So how long you got to cook that in the oven then?
15, 20 minutes.
And that sausage will get done in there.
Beautifully.
And not burn the bread.
Beautifully.
Because I would have probably pre-cooked the sausage and then wrapped it up
and
put it in there long enough. Put it in there long enough to bake the bread and then be done with it.
Well, but if you want to do that, just use Smoky Links.
Yeah, there you go.
If you're a skeert.
Yeah, well, I just don't like raw pork. You know, none of us do.
You're a liar.
Yeah.
Okay, so another thing kids love are city chicken.
Okay.
And Sobeys also sells those. Any good butcher, any family butcher will sell them. It's nothing more than pork sausage on a stick, like a breakfast sausage, and then they roll it in, I think, breadcrumbs or something, and it looks like a mock drumstick.
Right.
And you can throw those on the grill or in the smoker, and they are honestly—
You can deep fry those, too.
They're fun.
I've had them deep fried,
Kids love them because there's no muscle connectivity or no skin to, you know, gross them out, no blood in the joint.
Right.
They're always good.
Yep.
As long as you cook them enough.
Right. So speaking of sausage, I made some jalapeno poppers for the guys last weekend, but I went and got Sobeys kielbasa, that Parkside kielbasa.
Shocker.
But anybody's kielbasa that you can get. And then just put the cream cheese, and I used his beef jerky dip. It's a cream cheese-based dip.
Yeah.
Rolled that up, put it inside the popper,
and then
put the kielbasa over the top and smoked those things. Rave reviews. Just easy three ingredients, man.
Is that an armadillo egg?
I guess that's what they call those. I don't know, but it was a popper with sausage on the outside rather than bacon.
Mm-hmm.
An easy little recipe. You could put anything in them you want, but he had that beef jerky dip, which is cream cheese-based anyway, a little bit of garlic in it, and then real finely ground beef jerky. I'm sure it's like the ends and stuff that he just grinds up to use in there. But anyway, fabulous, just fabulous. But an easy one, hour on the smoker, and they were just done. You know, I had one guy eat 6 or 7 of them. He's like, "Man, these are the best damn thing I ever ate." And I'm like, "Well, you don't eat much, buddy, because they're good, but they're not that good."
No, they are good.
Yeah.
Them are good.
Yeah, exactly.
So a cheaper piece, this is supposed to be the full belly deli section. So that's why I'm doing all the cheap stuff. I forgot to announce it at the beginning of it. But the Full Belly Deli is all about
our listeners are used to doing things ass backwards if they're listening to us.
So chuck eye steaks or hanger steaks are two cheap cuts you can get. And like a chuck eye steak, it's a butcher's trick these days. Again, the big stores are doing it. But it's not horrible. It's not horrible. You can get them on sale really cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also get those Eye of Round on sale fairly cheap sometimes. And those are cool to use as well. If you have a smoker, you can smoke them to about 130 and then pull them off and wrap them and let them chill. And then you can slice them on a bias, and you'll have some beautiful shaved beef for sandwiches. Really paper thin.
Right, yeah.
Because it's really tough if you don't. It's it's round steak.
Right.
And round just gets tough.
And, it's a big working muscle off the cow.
And, it is.
And you've got to just cut it thin and don't overcook it, because if it gets overdone, then not much you can do with it.
I'd bring it up to about 130 and then wrap it and just park it and refrigerate it. And when you're ready to do some shaved sandwiches, there's a beautiful piece of meat right there that none of your friends are going to make that.
Right.
You'll have your own signature little piece.
Right. Put that with some mushrooms and onions and make yourself a sandwich.
I would do some horsey sauce, a little cream, a little sour cream and horseradish.
Right.
And some, I would chop up some green onion and, like you said, some mushrooms.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Be tasty.
Coming up next, we're going to camp, and we're going to bring some cast iron. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grillin' Guys, and we were just talking during the break about cast iron and how Barbecue Bob has taught me how to use it. And I have four cast iron skillets that are on top of my stove all day, every day. My new bride my new bride's like, why don't we ever put those things away? I said, because we cook with them every day.
And well, she doesn't venture into that part of the kitchen, so doesn't really know why you don't put it away.
Yeah.
Oh, Job, that food tastes so good.
Yeah, right. I got a little 6-inch all the way up to the 9-inch, and they're just sitting there. And a lot of times you get two or three of them going at the same time.
You don't have a big 10-inch?
Not on a stove.
rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That was a loss. I guess he'd been battling for a while, but, man, what a – that was our generation, Van Halen, man.
Well, that was,
we grew up with those guys, Bob. I mean, you know, words to every damn song, pretty much.
It's crazy. When I met Maureen, the band, when I was at Ferris, the band I was with, we did covers, and theirs was a third of our of our playlist.
Yep, band named after him. Rest in peace, brother.
Yep. So, we were talking about cast and. I was starting to talk about that big pan Susan Mosley gave me. And up until then, we had, I think, a 9-inch. And this one might be a 12. And it was really old. It wasn't a Lodge, but it was really high quality. I'm going to say the thing's 50, 60 years old. I'd never recognized the brand.
Right.
But the bottom of it, the inside, is so smooth. It's just fantastic.
Yep.
And because it was always taken care of, and it still is, as long as I'm taking care of it.
Right.
Now, if my bride happens to try and take care of it, she thinks she does finally have it not to put soap in it, but she has no problem putting it away with a little water in the bottom of the inside.
Yeah. Doesn't work.
No.
Nope. Doesn't work. Because you're going to have a rusty pan when you pull it out of there, no matter what you did.
Love the cast. Something else I've left out, and this is why I'm building, I swear I am, building this cast rack in my kitchen. Because I don't want to have to try and put this stuff away either. Number one, it's really heavy.
Right.
It doesn't fit into anything.
Right.
But if you can take two hands and just hang it on a hook, it's way better off.
Right.
And then I don't have to leave it all on top of my stove, because my big one, and Right now, it's Susan's pan is the one I leave on the stove all the time. Mm-hmm. And then I have that great big two-handled version of the one I bought you,
right,
which doesn't fit anywhere.
Right.
And I can't leave that on the stove, as big as my stove is. But so it's your shift and cast around. But I have this cast iron wok, and I am loving using that. I bought it because I wanted – the Cajun Grill has a spot where you can put – either a big 12-quart Dutch oven in it or a wok. It's got – you take one of the grates off and you put this big plate in with a big hole. And a wok fits in there perfectly. And the idea is you do some grilling on one side and you have that wok going on the other. You shut your lid and the smoke, of course, is absorbed by everything in both sides.
Right.
And it really does work, especially with a Dutch oven if you're doing makshoe or any T-Gids recipes. It really does add a beautiful chili, anything like that. So if you don't have a wok, I would tell you to look at some of the cast iron woks. Lodge sells one that's really nice.
Mm-hmm. We'll have them on a little later in the year. Well, they always come out a couple times a year, but the guys down at Lodge have been great partners of ours. And, man, they make just world-class cast iron.
The other thing you want at deer camp, I think, is a hibachi if you have one. If you don't, again, go to Lodge. They sell a beautiful one for $99.
Right.
It's so cheap.
Right.
$99. You got a grill.
Hibachi's just a little charcoal grill, right?
Yep.
With a cast grate on it, and you can put great sear marks on things. The beauty of cast, if you don't use it, I'd be surprised because many, many people do. But those that don't, the beauty of cast is it heats evenly. You get a heat source anywhere underneath that, and that cast transfers heat so evenly that things don't burn. They just cook really well.
And if you're using pure lump charcoal, let me tell you, that little hibachi it'll cook your food really quick.
Right.
And for deer camp, like for a lot of us, there's just two of us there. And that hibachi is perfect for two steaks, two pork chops, four pork chops maybe, but or two big steaks. It's just the perfect size.
Right.
If you're not cooking on a tripod. And like when we took the motorhome up north, I took the hibachi just because it fit nicely in the lower chambers for stowing. And it's easy. I don't need gas. I don't need anything. Just a little charcoal. Yep. And I did brats. I did burgers. And it's a wonderful tool.
That's something you just said I don't want to skip over is a little charcoal. You do not want a lot of charcoal in a hibachi.
No.
Because the grate is, 3-4 inches away from the fire? And maybe 6 if you can go all the way up. And that'll cook stuff, overcook it really quick on the outside before you get it done on the inside. Build a small fire. And then take your time a little bit, but they are a great tool.
And have mitts, because the whole thing is cast. So,
right.
I mean, it just gets really hot.
Welding gloves,
yep.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Best thing.
Yep.
So then, of course, Dutch ovens.
You know what?
Now
that's what I'm still learning.
Now I can talk about Dutch ovens without getting my chops busted.
Yeah, well, you know, you still talk a lot about your Dutch oven. More than anything, but it's okay. He bought me one, so therefore I have to use it. And I have to admit, as much as I hate to, that it is a really cool tool.
Yeah, have you used it?
Yes, absolutely. Probably 5 or 6 times.
Nice.
He bought it for me Christmas last year.
Yeah.
And now's the season. From now forward, we're going to be building. Tonight, we're going to have chili out at the bonfire. It's coming out of the Dutch oven. I'm going to make the chili in the Dutch oven. So, yeah.
So are you going to, from scratch, make it on the
Absolutely.
Fire?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. Why not?
That'll be impressive.
Authentic.
That'll be impressive.
Yeah.
There's lots of sizes of Dutch ovens.
I think mine's 10 quart, I think.
12.
12? Is that what it is? 12?
Well,
10, 12?
I don't know. Is it as big as?
I think it's a 10 quart.
I think you've got an 8 or 10 quart.
I think I got a 10 quart, yeah.
And that's pretty big.
Yeah.
I bought a 12 quart.
It's 2.5 gallons. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I bought a 12-quart years ago from a lady from church, and it came with the tripod and everything. Her husband had passed away. So
the tripod, do you hang the Dutch oven then when you're using a tripod?
You can.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a Lodge. I was going to tell you about the hibachi also. It's a Lodge, and it's got a cover that comes with it, and it's got this cool handle that you can hook onto it when you want to pick it up.
Yep.
Lodge is really smart about having these metal handles for things to...
Because it's hot, and it stays hot.
And you want it... And the cool thing is, this stuff all comes off real easy, so it's not hot when you're picking it up to use it again.
Right.
So the key with any of this cast stuff, if you're going to bring some of your wife's cast to deer camp, tell your buddies it's yours.
Right.
And make sure you get some welding gloves.
Right. Do that.
Because don't bring your wife's kitchen mittens.
No, the mitt with just the thumb, that's not going to work for you guys. That's just not going to work for you. Don't do that. Go to the welding store. For $12, you can get a nice pair of welding gloves. It'll be your man handling your cast, right?
So, yeah, and you'll survive man long.
Yeah, but anyway. So fire starters, I still like the little paraffin cubes, man, from Weber's.
Yep.
Those are the ones for me. I mean, they got all kinds of pressed wood and stuff that you can use. And
They're great.
Those little paraffin ones, they do have a little bit of a petroleum smell to them when you fire them up, but they go away so quickly. Yeah. It's not like pouring fire liquid all over your coals.
I think it's an alcohol smell. It does have a fuel kind of smell at first.
Right at first.
Because it's not burning hot enough.
Right.
Yep. So you're getting a little bit of exhaust.
Yeah, anyway. All right, coming up, we're going to bring this train to the station. We might talk about a smoked jerky slider. Stick with us. We'll be back. Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Today's man law, one of my favorites. Man law clearly states that under no circumstance do two men ever share an umbrella.
One you're going to be wet, the other one could be dry, but never two guys. I grab it, man. I get it.
So I brought in a little something here that I kind of purchased with a struggle. And
it's because your daughter made you do it.
I'm not used to lock boxes and all this stuff for my weapons, but now we have little kids in the house sometimes, so I have to think about
them. Exactly.
When my kids were in the house, I had guns all over the house, to be honest with you. And I taught them how to shoot, and they knew not to touch them, and for the most part, I think they didn't. They never shot themselves or anybody, so that worked.
Right.
But I think having something a little safer. Anyway.
Well, the grandkids and their parents don't have guns, so, you know, that's, and they're girls and that kind of stuff. So
this is called the lockbox.
Yep.
I found it on social media.
So you better clean that firearm. She's got a little dirt on her.
Oh, no.
That's right up in there, man.
No. Yeah. And it was just broken down.
Huh?
Yeah. It's perfect.
All right.
Nice try.
Yeah.
Seen
a little bit of last night's barbecue sauce on there or something.
No, I haven't opened this in weeks. This is something I carry. It's my carry piece. That's a Smith & Wesson 40 shield I got from Alan Bob's. And I now, if I'm not carrying it on my body, I will have it in whatever luggage I've got or whatever in this lockbox. And it just has five buttons, and there's a finger combination. I can do it with my eyes closed.
Right.
Or in the dark.
Yep.
It's not tricky, but it's really safe. You can give it to anybody, and they're not going to get it open.
Right, because there's a sequence of the buttons that you push, and it's like a combination lock.
Once you get it, it's easy. But it's safe.
Yep.
And you can drive a car over this thing. It was about $100.
Right.
I bought it online. It's called Lockbox. And if you've increasing your arsenal, which if you're not, turn your TV on. you will be increasing your arsenal. Or let's say you're using your stuff more and you've got more pistols now. This is a cool way to make the wife and everybody else a little safer, feel better.
Yeah, you got young grandkids in your house. It only makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a big safe full of guns, but if you're going to have one out and around and much more accessible than those in the safe.
Even hide this. So
they don't need to be out.
They're not going to know what it is, and they're not going to be able to get it open.
Right, exactly. But
want to know where I hide it?
One last thing. When I was down there with the boys in Shartucky, and again, had a great time. Pruden, thanks for hosting this deal. But I made smoked turkey sliders. I went and bought some of those Hawaiian rolls, a 12-pack of the Hawaiian rolls.
Those are nice.
Right, and I cut all 12 of them in half in one sheet, opened them up, put honey mustard on both sides, and I had smoked the turkey the night before, pulled it so I didn't have to haul the carcass down, just the turkey meat, put the turkey meat on there.
Did you shave it?
What? No, I just cut it thin. Yeah, real thin. It was breast meat that I put on here. Covered all 12 of those buns where I cut them all in half, just one big bun. Now, mustard on both sides, turkey, Swiss cheese, bread and butter pickles. Those three things, put the lid back on there and threw it in a smoker for about 15 minutes to let that Swiss cheese melt down on there, and then served them on a cutting board, and we just took a knife, quartered them up, you know, into each little slider and handed them out. Oh, man. Easy, easy little slider appetizer, man. The guys went nuts for those things.
Nice.
Very
good.
Sounds
really good.
Yeah, it was.
I'm not even hungry, and it sounds good.
Well, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We hope you enjoyed the show, because we did, so there.
Yeah. Check us out at thegrillingguys.com. Like us on Facebook / Grilling Guys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grilling Guys.
All right. We'll talk with you next week.
See you. Today's man law, one of my favorites. Man law clearly states that under no circumstance do two men ever share an umbrella.
When you're going to be wet, the other one could be dry, but never two guys. I grab it, man. I get it.
So I brought in a little something here that I kind of purchased with a struggle. And
it's because your daughter made you do it.
I'm not used to lock boxes and all this stuff for my weapons, but now we have little kids in the house sometimes, so I have to think about them.
Exactly.
When my kids were in the house, I had guns all over the house, to be honest with you. And I taught them how to shoot, and they knew not to touch them, and for the most part, I think they didn't. They never shot themselves or anybody, so that worked.
Right.
But I think having something a little safer. Anyway.
Well, the grandkids and their parents don't have guns, so, you know, that's, and they're girls and that kind of stuff. So
this is called the lockbox.
Yep.
I found it on social media.
So you better clean that firearm. She's got a little dirt on her.
Oh, no.
That's right up in there, man.
No. Yeah. And it was just broken down.
Huh?
Yeah, it's perfect.
All right.
Nice try.
Yeah. seen a little bit of last night's barbecue sauce on there or something.
No, I haven't opened this in weeks. This is something I carry. It's my carry piece. That's a Smith & Wesson 40 shield I got from Alan Bob's. And I now, if I'm not carrying it on my body, I will have it in whatever luggage I've got or whatever in this lockbox. And it just has 5 buttons, and there's a finger combination. I can do it with my eyes closed.
Right.
Or in the dark.
Yep.
It's not tricky, but it's really safe. You can give it to anybody, and they're not going to get it open.
Right, because there's a sequence of the buttons that you push, and it's like a combination
once
lock.
Once you get it, it's easy. But it's safe.
Yep.
And you can drive a car over this thing. It was about $100.
Right.
I bought it online. It's called Lockbox. And if you've increasing your arsenal, which if you're not, turn your TV on. you will be increasing your arsenal. Or let's say you're using your stuff more and you've got more pistols now. This is a cool way to make the wife and everybody else a little safer.
Well,
feel better.
Yeah, you got young grandkids in your house. It only makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a big safe full of guns, but if you're going to have one out and around and much more accessible than those in the safe.
Even hide this. So
they don't need to be out.
They're not going to know what it is, and they're not going to be able to get it open.
Right, exactly. But
want to know where I hide it?
One last thing. When I was down there with the boys in Shartucky, and again, had a great time. Pruden, thanks for hosting this deal. But I made smoked turkey sliders. I went and bought some of those Hawaiian rolls, a 12-pack of the Hawaiian rolls.
Those are nice.
Right, and I cut all 12 of them in half in one sheet, opened them up, put honey mustard on both sides, and I'd smoked the turkey the night before, pulled it so I could didn't have to haul the carcass down, just the turkey meat, put the turkey meat on there.
Did you shave it?
What? No, I just cut it thin. Yeah, real thin. It was breast meat that I put on here. Covered all 12 of those buns where I cut them all in half, just one big bun. Now, mustard on both sides, turkey, Swiss cheese, bread and butter pickles. Those three things. Put the lid back on there and threw it in a smoker for about 15 minutes to let that Swiss cheese melt down on there, and then served them on a cutting board, and we just took a knife, quartered them up, you know, into each little slider and handed them out. Oh, man. Easy, easy little slider appetizer, man. And the guys went nuts for those things.
Nice.
Very
good.
Sounds
really good.
Yeah, it was.
I'm not even hungry, and it sounds good.
Well, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We hope you enjoyed the show, because we did, so there.
Yeah. Check us out at thegrillingguys.com. Like us on Facebook /thegrillingguys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grilling Guys.
All right. We'll talk with you next week.
See you.